talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let me introduce to you
Locked and Loaded with Rick Mudd on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Yeah, it's an absolute peach of a day here in Ireland. I must say the skies are so blue. The temperature is so nice. There's a little breeze blowing, and the temperature and the weather is set to continue until at least next Saturday week, which for us is extremely unusual to get a good run like this. So this might be our summer. Okay, this might be our summer. We usually joke that if we get 3 days of sunshine in a row in Ireland here, that that's our summer. Well, we're due about 10. So it's all good. Thank God for the sunshine. It lifts the old spirits, hopefully, wherever you're listening from, whatever time of the day or night it is, that the weather's nice and that your mood is upbeat. This is Locked and Loaded. This is TNT Radio. I'm Rick Munn. Darren and I are going to be chatting in a minute. And then I'm going to be joined after what seems like a very long time indeed by Dr. Kat Lindley, beaming in from Texas at 5 a.m. That's what you call a hardcore guest right there. And I would have loved to have been speaking to her before now. It's been about 6 months, but my shift changed and then it would have been like 4 or 3 in the morning for her. So very antisocial. But to give her dues, she was prepared to do that. But I said, no, it's above and beyond the call of duty to get up at 3 a.m. to talk to me. Please get your sleep, whoever you are that's listening in. So Kat will be joining me shortly. Just looking at some of the things that I've seen this morning, a fantastic, if you do use social media, I've put a link through to a chap called John McGurk from Gripped Media in Ireland, talking on News Talk, which is a more mainline Irish radio station. And in probably 2 minutes, he perfectly articulates passionately the problem with Ireland at the minute with the open borders policy in such a way that no one could counter what he said. He said it so brilliantly and so eloquently. And one of the takeaway statements that I have is that that there are being people being labelled far right for opposing open borders. And he said, listen, people aren't far right. But when the far right seem to be the only people that are standing up for the people, of course, they're going to align with them because the left or the so-called left or centrists or the government are failing the people miserably. So I've said it before, I'll say it again. Check out Gripped Media, G-R-I-P-T Media, at Gripped Media on Twitter. And they're a very good source of information for what's happening in Ireland at the moment. What else is going on? Co-op. The Co-op in the UK are now charging over 10 quid for coffee. Yes, 10 quid for coffee, £10 and 50 pence for a pot of Nescafe Gold. And it's actually got to the point where the Co-op are now putting empty coffee jars on shelves to prevent shoplifters. So you take your empty jar of Nescafe Gold to the cashier and she reaches under the desk and pulls out real coffee. It used to be steaks were security tagged because they were very expensive. 15 quid for a good steak, a tenner for a decent steak. Well, it's a tenner now for a pot of Nescafe Gold. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, £10, 50 Nescafe Gold. Kenko, the cheaper option, a much smaller tub, is a fiver. Went into the Co the other day to get some Nutella for my daughter. She loves that stuff. £8.50. Woo! I love my daughter, but there's a point at which even daddy will not be shelling out 8 quid for some nut spread. No way. So yeah, this could be a real test of who really loves their kids or not, to see how high the Nutella goes at the local co-op. So keep an eye on that one. German vaccine health minister changes his tune on vaccine injuries. Probably one of the most sinister characters I've ever seen in my life, the German health minister. He's something straight out of, looks like something he could have been an extra in Schindler's List in one of the concentration camps. No two ways about it. A nasty piece of work he was. Yeah, he's backpedaling and backtracking like you wouldn't believe. Ireland banning the sale of vapes to children by mid-July under new laws to be signed off by the cabinet, amongst other things. We're starting to see this now. Tobacco bans and now vaping bans. In Australia, you can only get the vapes now on prescription. So your options are being limited by the day. So going to take a brief pause just to let you know TNT are beaming out live at the moment from Brisbane. All our shows are available on Catch Up on all the major streaming platforms and Spotify, Apple Music, on our website, tntradio.live. Download the app from the Google Play Store and or the App Store and stay connected with us perpetually here on TNT Radio.
Stay updated on everything you need to know.
They keep me up to date.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Darren, things aren't really getting any better over in Ukraine at the moment. I think there's a danger at the moment where people are fatigued about hearing about it. We've seen a lot of people drop their profile flags. I'm seeing people that had the flags in their front windows, they've been removed. It seems to be, we need something new to virtue signal about. However, tragically, the carnage is still going on. And if anything, it's getting worse out there. They're not reporting that and they're not jumping about that on the mainstream media, are they?
People are certainly getting fatigued about it. There's no sort of public support for this, or it's very, very slim compared to where it was a year ago. There are a couple of stories on Ukraine. Russia has apparently mounted the largest drone strike of the campaign so far, and they've been targeting Kiev and airfields, ammunition dumps, storage depots, aircraft, radar stations, command posts, the sort of military targets that you would expect somebody in a war to target. But I saw a BBC report on this morning, and I've seen some other videos coming out of Kiev, and it doesn't look like it's under attack. That's the problem I have with this. You know, I'd like to believe what I'm reading with regards from Russia, but I've also seen some social media posts that are coming out from Russian activists, people who support Russia in this campaign, and then found that there was multiple people writing exactly the same thing. This was about Patriot weapon systems that have been destroyed. And it sort of not brought it home, but it reminded me, be careful, Darren, the propaganda is on both sides. Try to stay down the middle. So the stuff coming out by the BBC from Kiev looks very suspect. They're saying, oh, look, Kiev's under attack. And people are strolling around, driving around, queuing up for
McDonald's
shots.
McDonald's is doing good business.
Yeah, McDonald's is probably doing good business. And so are the nightclubs in Kiev. So it's hard to ascertain what's actually happening. It could be that Kiev is saying, oh, civilian infrastructure is under attack in Kiev, when actually it's military targets. And we're just not being shown that by the BBC because it smashes the whole Russia bad narrative. So I'm very, very careful and reticent on what I'm saying about the attacks on Kiev. However, Ukraine. Moscow has been attacked by drones. UAVs damaged several residential buildings, prompting evacuations. I have seen some footage, apparently, of Russian air defense taking down these drones. Again, got to take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt, but it does seem like Biden's claim of, sending F-16s, that would be World War III. Oh, giving Ukrainian weapons that can attack the Russian mainland, that would be World War III. It would be a lie. We're not going to do that. Ukraine are going to do as the USA tell them. Well, it seems like that might not be the case. And we are now seeing repeated stories coming out of Moscow, out of Russia, of attacks on their region. Again, is this propaganda? It's a war. The first thing that dies is the truth. But it does seem like mainland Russia is now being eyed by its enemies. And again, if people are losing interest in the war, they might regain their interest very, very quickly if Russia, as it keeps repeatedly promising, starts to target the source of the weapons that are attacking it. And that could include our own countries, potentially. Ukraine war, Russian ambassador Andrea Killin issues warning of escalation in Ukraine. He said, quite a very sort of short, typical Russian statement, we haven't even started to act very seriously yet. Russia is 16 times bigger than Ukraine. We have enormous resources. This was to a BBC reporter. And I think the point there is there's a reason why we want our hands on Russia and the West. It's because they have enormous, valuable resources that we don't have because we outsource everything. And this is being shown in this war because they are outproducing the entire NATO organization in terms of arms output. And I think, you know, if we continue this war, we're going to find out just how industrious the Russians are, Rick.
The best way I can think of, just listening to you talking there, John Waters was on this show here a few months ago, and he gave a perfect illustration of what it's like in Ukraine. So what he said was, for 30-odd years, Ireland, the troubles were ongoing in Ireland. However, it wasn't all of Ireland that was affected by the troubles. It was the six counties in the north, and sometimes there was attacks in Dublin or cross-border attacks very infrequently, terrible, but they happened. So what was he trying to say? And even within the six counties, it was centered in and around Belfast or the bigger towns. So if you lived in a little fishing village in the north coast of Antrim, you weren't really going to be affected the same way as somebody living in Belfast city centre. And if you lived in Dublin or Monaghan or Calvin or whatever, you weren't going to see any trouble. So it's a little bit like that with Ukraine. It's this huge country. There are terrible atrocities happening. People are being killed. But to say I'm fleeing Ukraine because of the war is like someone who lives in the southeastern tip of Ireland saying I'm fleeing Ireland because of the troubles. It's like, but they're 400 miles that way and they've never come close to where you are and it's perfectly peaceful where you live. The whole country is being brushed with this war-torn imagery that we're seeing from our Western mainstream media press, but it's not really like that. There are pockets of horror, and that's terrible, and people should be fleeing from that. But there's a vibrant hotel, availability and luxury hotels. And as you say, you know, you look at some of the footage. Look at when Johnson went to Kiev and they just strolled around, no bulletproof jacket. He was wearing a stab vest in Manchester. He was wearing a suit and tie when he was in Kiev.
That's I'd wear a stab vest in Manchester.
Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Any major city. Yeah. I mean, if they've got lots of hotels, four-star, five-star hotels available in Ukraine, I've got some people that can fill that up for you if you want. If you want some of our local arrivals or new arrivals, maybe they can go to Ukraine because it does look quite clean and pristine in there. And it was in this BBC footage. There was no evidence in that particular, even though they're claiming, look at war-torn Ukraine. Nothing was going on. And I just wanted to comment on Lindsey Graham because it just really, I think this sort of crystallizes just how evil some of our politicians are, particularly the full-on establishment ones like Lindsey Graham. Russia has put an arrest warrant on him because he has stated, and he's, I think he was caught off camera, you know, he didn't realize the mic was on, saying that all these Russians that are being killed, best money ever spent by the USA.
Disgusting.
I think that's a truly disgusting statement. And I hope they arrest him and hang him up by his feet for
with a smug, smug grin on his face. No remorse, no compassion, no humanity, no nothing. You know what? Sadly, my friend, this whole conflict brings out the absolute worst in people and none more so than the people that are allegedly on our side. And I mean, like, listen, the Russians are not angels either. There's no winners war, and all war is bad. And if we could all just coexist, wouldn't it be wonderful? But the sad reality is this is life, and people are people, and there will always be troubles, conflicts, fighting, death, and destruction for as long as we're running around on the face of the planet. However, we have to try and get along, and people like Graham coming out with rhetoric like that, best money we ever spent killing people, that's still somebody's son or daughter, you know what I mean? They didn't maybe choose to be thrown into the front line. They weren't conscripted to go and fight in Bakhmut against the Russian war machine. Just no compassion and no contact with the real human race is our Lindsey Graham. But appreciate the input on that. Always a good idea to keep an eye on it because it's not going away. And in fact, if anything, as the Russians have said, maybe they're just getting warmed up. Perish the thought, but we'll keep it under review.
Perish the thought.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Perish the thought, mate, indeed. And yeah, a big man, thanks to you for all the input today and all being well. We'll get talking again tomorrow. That's the legendary Darren.
Speak to you tomorrow, mate.
Yes, mate. Have a good day. And I'll be back after the break with Kat Lindley, all being well. So please don't go away.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
South Africa beats the climate goal as blackouts slash emissions. Actual headline. In other words, the international net zero Green New Deal agenda is literally helping countries meet the climate goals, not because solar and wind are just taking over and emissions are dropping, but because of the restrictions on fossil fuels are forcing energy shortages and blackouts, which is then reducing emissions. The same way recessions reduce emissions. The same way the COVID lockdowns reduce global emissions about 7%. So South Africa is an outclimate hero as blackouts spread across the country and poor people have no running water and electricity. Isn't this wonderful? They're meeting their climate goals. In fact, they're ahead of the target for cutting emissions of greenhouse gas. Bloomberg actually writes, regular breakdowns of coal-fired power plants that supply more than 80% of South Africa's electricity mean less carbon dioxide is being pumped into the atmosphere. There you go. It's unintentional, the executive director of the Climate Commission said in an interview. He said it's very difficult to recommend the decommissioning of power stations in the middle of an energy crisis. You think?
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You never know where a kid pedestrian might appear from. I could run out between two parked cars.
Suddenly I'll chase my ball into the road. And because we're small, you might not see us until it's too late.
So when you're near schools and playgrounds, make sure you're looking and be ready to stop. Watch out before you take out a pedestrian. A message from the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.
The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it.
That's a campaign promise.
Tell us the truth. Tell us the truth.
We mandate that the truth be told.
You're hearing it.
TNT.
We mandate that the truth be told, and I am very fortunate to have a genuine bona fide certified truth teller with me right now. And big respect is due, big salute, TNT salute to Dr. Kat Lindley for dragging her carcass out of bed in the middle of the night, and she's sleepy, and I can see her eyes are like two slits. Kat, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Oh, it's been donkey's years since you and I have last talked. I think it might even have been around about last summertime. You were over in the homeland visiting family. Then you came back over to the United States. My shift changed over the wintertime and we kind of lost contact a little bit with doing our little chats here on TNT. But thankfully, you know, I try and warn you, you know, you don't have to do this, but to give you your dues, you're an absolute trooper and I have nothing but respect for you. You're prepared to get up at any time of the day or night just to get the message out there. And so for that, I thank you and I really appreciate you coming on this morning. All jokes about sleepiness aside, okay? So welcome back. And truth talking, we're talking truth. You can follow Dr. Kat Lindley on Twitter at KL Veritas. And unless I'm mistaken, Veritas, verity is a root Latin word for truth. Is that correct? Is that true or is that false? There's your first question to see if you're really awake or not.
Okay, so that's the easy one. That's completely true.
Ah, see, I'm not just pretty face. I used to study Latin in school, and they told me if you ever want to be a doctor, you need to know Latin because they write all their prescriptions in Latin. That was a lie, actually. That was a lie about the truth. So I dropped Latin in third year, and I went on and studied Swahili instead. But that's another story altogether. Now, you and I have an awful lot to talk about. Try and squeeze as much as we can in here over the next 37 minutes as we possibly can. So you are a doctor, critical thinker, a truth teller, and in your own words, you're not running, you're seeking and not hiding, you're finding. So you're one of the few, genuinely, and I'm not just saying this because you're on here this morning, you're one of the few who took a stand right off the bat and were prepared not to go along with the COVID narrative. You spoke out against it, against the totalitarianism that was going on at the time. There seems to be a swelling in the ranks, Dr. Lindley, of people that are, you know, the light bulbs are going off. And I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, there's more in your camp now than there was maybe even 12 months ago whenever we first started talking on TNT. Does that give you a little bit of a boost morale-wise in terms of you're not feeling like you're just out there in the vanguard with only a few other people to back you up? Does that make sense?
Well, it gives me hope that people will not comply if they try this again.
Uh-huh. And you think they will, though? Do you think they will? I don't believe they're done with this whole lockdown, pushing vaccine, mandatory vaccine, vaccine, COVID pass, etc. I don't think they're done with it. But do you think round two is imminent? Or because they've had a few false starts, they tried it with smallpox in the UK, they tried it with the monkeypox, you remember that? They were telling us that, mm-hmm. you know, there's a new plague amongst the gay community and it was spreading at pride events, spreader events, and old gay men need to go and get jabbed. That didn't really take off. They're talking about the next one people will pay up and sit up and pay attention to it. What do you think they mean by that? What are they going to unleash on us next, do you think?
Well, I think that COVID was just a rehearsal. And if you follow what's happening in Geneva with WHO and, you know, the pandemic treaty or accord, as they call it now, and the amendments to the IHR, I think this was just really a foreplay for them. And they're going to, whether they figure out a new virus, new illness, or they decide climate change is going to, you know, cause the world to implode or whatever, I think they're not done with us.
No, I don't think they are either. And I want to touch on this a little bit because it's something that you write about a lot to do with the WHO's pandemic treaty. Now, I can remember you and I discussing this last summer. At the time, mm-hmm. there was a whole hullabaloo about this, that there was a great fear that the WHO were going to implement these rules and everybody would have to fall into lockstep and do as they were told. It didn't materialize, but then again, they were clear that this was just the beginnings of consultations and meetings and strategies that they would have, that they would be looking at 2024, 2025 possible implementation of this. Where are they at the minute with this? They're still plotting and scheming, I imagine. They haven't let go of this concept at all. The WHO pandemic treaty and amendments to the international health regulations are a real threat to national sovereignty and need to be opposed by every country individually. So UK ministers are waking up to the power grab. Is that the case right across the board? Do we need 100% resistance? 50-50 won't cut the mustard. Do we need everybody to be against this, or else they may just have a chance of pumping something through?
No, we 100% agree that we need everyone to be against it, but I would go further. And not only against it, we all need to exit WHO. I think if you follow them at all, you know, the treaty and the amendments to the IHR are complete power grab. You're going to have this unelected body in a case of emergency that they can declare, by the way. You would have a director general who can decide how the countries are going to respond. So they would focus on the early detection and prevention of the pandemics, and then decide via response, via vaccines or medications, diagnostics, on how each country would respond. One thing that's really interesting is this one health approach that would connect the health of humans, animals, and the planets. And according to them, humans would not be any more important than animals or plants. And everything's all based on climate change. So it's just their way of trying to control what's happening. They also will require each country to give 5% of the health budget to WHO. Now you're going to create this even bigger bureaucratic mess that's going to be in control of our, you know, if you're following United States right now, which I know you are, Republicans and Democrats are trying to negotiate the debt ceiling. And, you know, they're trying to cut the money from this budget. And with these amendments and pandemic treaty going through, WHO is going to require even more money from us. And right now, I believe we're in, I want to say we are second in the amount that we donate and are have to donate. So there are two different funds. There is voluntary contributions, and then there is, you know, other assessments and stuff like that. And the United States is up there pretty high in that donor
ladder.
Exactly. Yes, thank you. So requiring even more money from us, and then having someone who has no idea what's happening in our own country decide how we're going to respond is just like one of the most totalitarian things I've seen in a long time.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break just for a minute. When we come back, you touched on, normally we talk medicine and, you know, health, etc. But there's an absolute disintegration of American society that's going on at the minute with ghost towns, and you're talking about the debt ceiling. And of course, poverty, which is enveloping more Americans at the minute, has a direct impact on your health. You can't afford to eat cleaner, or maybe you're eating more junk food, or you're maybe not eating healthily at all, or you have psychological issues. It causes mental health problems. There's a lack of availability to treatment, etc. So finances, or the economy, and health, I would say, are also inextricably linked. When one's up, the other one tends to go up. When one goes down, the other one tends to go down. Let's look at the degeneration of some parts of America, certainly at the minute. And it's crazy to watch some parts of San Francisco, Chicago, what's going on in New York at the minute, bigger cities. These aren't just isolated pockets here, and what's happening in California. We'll get your views on that, hopefully, when we come back in just 1 minute here on TNT Radio.
What do they want?
Exciting news.
Brace yourself.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia has issued an arrest warrant for hawkish US Senator Lindsey Graham after he was caught on camera appearing to boast about paying Ukraine to kill Russian soldiers. A world-leading cardiologist has called on the Australian government to apologise to and compensate workers who were sacked for refusing the COVID shot. And NATO's so-called peacekeeping forces have been accused of attacking a group of peaceful demonstrators staging a sit-down protest in the breakaway region of Kosovo.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
We've got a question here from somebody who's listening in on our live chat just before, I suppose, we go to economic Armageddon that's currently in place at the minute on United States soil. Mark Delaney says, hi, Rick. Do you think that the WHO is a new world government by stealth? I don't think so per se, Mark, but I think they are an arm of what will be the new world, one world government if they get what they want. I definitely think that the WHO will be an arm of that. Dr. Lindley has said about exiting the WHO, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, I think one of the first things Trump did when he came to office was he removed the US from the WHO. But then when Biden came in, one of the first things he did was re-enter that program again. Number one, am I correct in that? And number two, do you think that the WHO is a front for or will be part of a new world government if it crystallizes somewhere down the line? What do you think?
So yes, Trump removed us, Biden put us back in, and interestingly, the current our current government's HHS is really the instrument that's trying to push all these amendments. So United States, if you listen to the speech by our delegate to WHO, is strongly for all these things, and actually we are pushing most of these changes anyway. So WHO might not be one world government, but the United Nations is definitely trying to be. And WHO is an arm of United Nations.
Yeah.
So if our eyes are right now on WHO, but if you actually watch United Nations, a lot of these things are in parallel happening at UN. And there is a lot of alarming things coming from there. So it needs to be watched very closely.
Yeah, interesting as well, even the term United Nations, because what we're saying here is to counteract this potential pandemic treaty that they're trying to force through, there needs to be a unified rejection of this. But we know that all these United Nations, that's by name itself, should give it away. They're united towards common goals. And where you see outliers, for example, Hungary or Croatia, possibly, that they resist UN directives, etc. They don't agree with some of the war strategies that NATO have. They're threatened with sanctions and they're demonized and they're painted out to be outliers. And, they will suffer for it. They will be made to suffer for it financially. This is another form of coercion and bullying towards entire nations. The same type of thing, really, the same principle as what we saw with individuals in America and the UK and Ireland and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. If you don't comply with what we want, we're not saying you have to take it, but if you don't take it, we'll make life so miserable for you or so burdensome for you that you lose your job and end up in Skid Row. So that's what they use, is it not? Is this coercion, this bullying tactic right up to nation level? Is that not what they're doing here when they try and enforce these things?
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of pressure on these countries to actually submit to these requirements. Interestingly, I would say that the last pandemic, similar things happened because WHO would give these recommendations and then our country regulatory agencies would tend to follow them, like CDC would follow WHO. I'm sure the same thing happened in Ireland and UK. But one of the new things that's happening with these changes, especially to the amendments to the IHR, what used to be recommendations at some point are going to become mandatory obligations. So if these things are passed, and you're correct, the vote is going to happen next year, May of 24. If these things are passed, then these recommendations now will become mandatory obligations. So when WHO decides that there is some kind of pandemic, they can decide how we're going to respond to it. And it would, like I said, it would be vaccines, the medications, testing, but also border closures. And that's why lockdowns, right? And that's why you've seen this huge uproar in UK where MEPs finally, after like long time, they're finally saying, oh, we're not going to let, WHO decides if we're going to lock down again. Well, they will. And in my opinion, I tend to be a realist. Some people will call me a pessimist, but I'm actually a realist. Yeah. I do think that the way we're tracked right now, these things will pass next year. Because if you watch what's happening at WHA, which is the World Health Assembly currently, and today I believe is the last day, they're doing a lot of these, meetings that are being televised and stuff, and there's lots of posturing and things like that. But things are moving along. They keep on negotiating, and this will get passed because of the pressure that they're putting on these other countries. And I agree with you. I think Hungary is a country to watch. I think Romania is going to be a country to watch. Croatia, Serbia, Poland, all of these Eastern European bloc, I believe, are going to be countries to watch because they recognize the danger behind this.
Yeah, another thing as well, just as you're talking, what I'm thinking they didn't have in the last so-called pandemic was they didn't have uniformity of response. And what I mean by that is, yes, there was a worldwide rollout of the so-called vaccine. Yes, there was a worldwide pushing of masking. But there were, within America, for example, you had a lot of, you had states like Florida, that were completely different in their approach to California or New York, for example. So the bluer states would have adhered more to lockdowns and masking and vaccine mandates. Florida would have stayed open for business. So there was no uniformity there. In Ireland, when they brought in the vaccine passes or the health passes, COVID passes, in the north of Ireland, they were late bringing them in and they remained for a shorter time than they did in the south of Ireland. In England, care home workers lost their jobs, 60-odd thousand of them, because they weren't jabbed. It didn't roll out to the NHS because there was such a huge kickback against that. Italy was different than France, which was different than Germany, which was different than Japan, and so on and so forth. I think, correct me, or tell me what you think about this, but I think what they're really aiming for next time is this uniformity. So the directive comes from Tedros or whoever's above him pulling his strings. And he said, right, what applies in Romania will apply in Texas, which will apply in Dublin, which will apply in France, etc. You must do this. This is what you must take. This is how our lockdown strategy works. They need to coordinate that and tighten it down. It was too loose last time, and I don't think they got the end result that they wanted. Next time, I think they've learned from this. As you said, it was a practice run. Next time, it'll be a lot more focused. What do you reckon?
So I agree and disagree in a sense. I do think that the response in European Union was very much similar. And I think European Union is really a slave to WHO and UN, if you ask me. I think some of the things coming from EU make no sense whatsoever. I think that the UK going through Brexit and not being part of European Union actually made a big mess for them, because UK tried to do what they wanted to a certain extent. But you're right, I think United States gave them a lot of trouble, and that's a good thing. I think even if they go ahead with this, what's happening right now in United States, especially the conservative states, they are trying to pass legislature where they say, no matter what happens on the federal level, on state level, we will not comply. And that's kind of what has to happen. Since we cannot really put faith in our federal government that they will do what's best for the American people, we need to try to work within our states to push back. And there are several states who are passing legislature saying, if WHO does this, we will not comply. If CDC makes us do this, we will not comply. We will do what's best for the state. And that's what has to happen. That's why I'm 100% against this one health approach. It makes no sense, because the way we're going to respond in United States is different than you will respond in Ireland, just because of the culture of the way you guys look at health, your health system, and things like that. Also, in a warmer countries and colder countries, you're going to do different things. It's normal, and I think we need to start remembering that being prideful of who we are, that having pride in being Americans or Irish or British, it's a good thing. We should not be one world. I don't want to be one world. No. I was born in Croatia and now I live in the United States. I couldn't consider myself Croatian and American. And I'm happy for that. And I want my children to know Croatian culture and be raised in America and have American spirit and love this country. So I think those are the type of things we need to foster in our families.
Yeah, I agree with you. Certainly I'm one for experiencing other cultures, but I don't believe we should all be amalgamated into one big pot where nobody has any real definitive identity anymore. That's what makes traveling such a beautiful experience, or at least it was a beautiful experience, is you get to experience different cultures, immerse yourself in them, different traditions, different foods, different languages, call it what you want. But I think another part of the strategy is to blur all those lines, especially with immigration policies that are going on as well. It's affecting you in America, with the borders being thrown open, as well as it is in Ireland at the minute, which is another lockstep strategy that they're currently employing, I think, to make us weaker. Now, we've got to take another real quick ad break just for a minute. And when we come back, we will talk about this, the economy and the degeneration of that, and what it means for the average man or woman or child on the street in the US of A. So please don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
With his expert analysis and opinion.
This is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Monday was Memorial Day here in the United States, a day when we honor those who gave the last full measure of devotion to our country, and honor the Gold Star families who live with the loss of their loved ones, not just once a year, but every day. A traditional slice of Americana, it's typically marked by local parades, family cookouts, and a trip to the ice cream store. I'm blessed to have a roadside ice cream stand 300 meters up the road from me. And I just treated myself to an ice cream cone. There was a young family directly ahead of me in line. The parents looked to be around 30, and the children 4 and 6. When the father got to the front of the line, he saw a sign above the window and said, "Oh, you're cash only? We're going to have to come back." And then he said to his children, "Let's go, guys. We need paper money. We're going to have to go to an ATM.
Well, what if it wasn't just the ice cream stand that was cash only? What if it was our entire society? What would you do? Do you have enough cash on hand to pay your bills to keep food on your table? And what if it wasn't just an internet outage, but the government shutting down your ability to use a central bank digital currency? Things to think about. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
It's not a Snapchat seat, a trying to find the sunnies in your handbag seat, or a hi babe, text to your girlfriend seat. It's not a brekkie on the run so you could sleep in seat, or a seat for making awesome videos of yourself.
How many earrings today? Do you like them?
It's a driver's seat. If there's someone or something that needs your attention and it can't wait, pull over first, because no one's driving if you're distracted. A message from the government of South Australia.
He's locked and loaded.
Time for something different. Yes.
Rick Munn on today's News Talk.
Let's go.
TNT Radio.
You know, I'm noticing something. I kind of pay attention to my guests when I'm talking to them. Would I be right in saying you're sort of more alive now than you were about 45 minutes ago? You seem to sort of be more animated and your brain's working a little bit better. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, 100%.
Do you know what the problem is? Now you're all mentally stimulated and thinking now you've got to go back to bed because it'll be 6 o'clock whenever you finish this show, and you'll be tossing and turning thinking about Tedros and the World Health Organization when you should be having lovely dreams of Croatia, no doubt about it. But again, I really appreciate it. You know what? This illustrates a point. We were talking before you came on that there's a drive to turn our brains to mush. Okay, to be more online, to be relying on ChatGPT and artificial intelligence to do things, to construct sentences. And I think, tell me what you think about this, but the more we engage our brain properly, like exercise our brain with conversations, like literal conversations with real human beings, whether that be physically face-to-face or via Zoom, like the way we're doing at the minute, do you not find, literally, it brings your brain out of a slumber and engages it and exercises it like a muscle? And that's part of the strategy to dumb us all down. The more time we spend online rather than in the real world, the more time we spend interacting virtually rather than face to face, I think it weakens us. But I do get that some people don't have a good friend network and some people are remote and they have no other option. But is there a substitute for literal physical conversation, communication, face-to-face interaction? It's good for the mind, is it not?
100%. And I think if you really look at what's happened the past 3 years, people who questioned what's going on are the ones that are critical thinkers. And one of the reasons I kind of started questioning very early on was the fact that they tried to separate us so we can't talk. Right, that was the purpose of lockdown, the isolation, to make us more dependent on the internet and TV. You know, that fear that we all experienced at some point was coming from TV, from the numbers, from that ticker on the bottom of the screen that kept on saying more people are dead, more people are dead. You know, people are dying in Italy, in France, in United States, New York. That had a specific purpose. They didn't want us to talk. And the way you combat this whole thing, this nonsense that's happening, is call your friend, go see them out for lunch, you know, travel, see that people around the world feel exactly the same way you do. We have to really just return back to these normal human interactions.
Yeah, and do you know what I've noticed as well? I have a little cat. Okay, I'm a little cat. And that little guy, he doesn't give a damn about the IHR, the WHO, Klaus Schwab, or the WF. He just lies in the settee and sleeps about 18 hours a day, stretches, gets up, walks around, has a bite to eat, you know, jumps up in the window, stretches some more, and then goes back to sleep again. I know we can't live in a bubble and we're in denial. Like you said, you're not a pessimist. You're a realist, but can we not learn a lot just simply from animals? They just live day to day. They're not thinking about next week or next month or next year. They're just getting through their day in as peaceable manner as possible. Should we be looking to cats and dogs maybe for direction rather than authorities on certain subjects or radio stations like TNT? We should be looking to our pets, should we not?
I agree. We need to find happiness in little things. That's all it is.
Yeah, you're right. Because that's what animals do, by the way. They find happiness in little things. They have a favorite spot they like to lie. They have a favorite food they like to eat. They have a favorite place they like to, you know, they can come up and lie on your leg or whatever, jump on your back. Like the other day, my little cat normally lies in my legs when I'm sitting on the settee and he goes to sleep. The other night, he decided he would jump up and climb up the front of my body like a climbing post using his claws. I wasn't very happy about that, but, you know, he does these things from time to time, which also makes life a little bit interesting. But let's talk about the economy. In that, you touched on the debt ceiling. It's being raised again. It's a catch too, I suppose. If they didn't raise the debt ceiling, things are going to be catastrophic. Now they are raising the debt ceiling, things are going to be catastrophic. Is this not like someone who's maxed out all their credit cards and they can't pay their bills? And if the credit card company doesn't extend the credit a little bit longer, the house will collapse. But if they do extend the credit, they're going to get further into debt and be even more down a financial black hole. Is that not, in a nutshell, the way the good old GSFA is at the minute? They are busted when it comes to the old finances. What do you think?
Yes, I think you're right. But my question is, maybe we should let the house collapse. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think it can get worse than it is. You know, you have these Republicans who campaign on the fact that they will actually try to make a difference and try to balance the budget. And you know, I'm not saying that they can balance the budget, but they can definitely try to decrease this budget more than they have. And a lot of stuff, you know, even in the COVID response, there's a lot of money that they could give back. They don't want to because they waste that money. I love Rand Paul. I haven't looked at his list recently, but sometimes I think like for New Year's or something, he publishes this list of different things that have been passed, right? So they'll pass things like where they're studying bees or some kind of nonsense that makes no impact on what's going on, and spend millions on things like this. And, you know, a lot of these things that are happening in DC, they live in their own bubble. They don't know how it affects people. I can tell you that about 6 months ago, my electric bill went up, and it didn't double, it tripled. So and now finally it's coming down a little bit. So I used to pay about $300 in a summer. I just paid last night $530, and I was thinking, oh, that's actually a good deal, because 4 or 5 months ago I was paying almost $1,000 for electric bill. Interestingly, the usage did not go up. The usage was exactly the same as last year, but the prices went up. And families can't afford that. You know, my property taxes are up 1.5 times from when we bought the house. And I don't live in this huge mansion or a big house. The things are just going up. Our milk prices, and I know it's the same for you as well, it's like they're tripled, and it's crazy. Like, try to buy meat and vegetables. So people are kind of returning back to things and growing their own gardens. And actually, my 10-year-old was in a garden club this year, and they told them how to grow, you know, vegetables and plants. And I thought it was a good thing to do, because we all have to kind of get back to these things, because everything's going up. You know, we're sending billions, trillions, zillions, as I like to say, to different countries, but we're not taking care of our own people. We have veterans who are living under these bridges in Dallas and different big cities. And like you talked about San Francisco and California, they have these tents where people are living because they can afford to live. And these are normal families who, you know, a few years ago had jobs and could pay their mortgages, and now they can't. So we're not taking care of our own people, but we're trying to solve the problems of the world. And that's wrong.
There's a picture, there's a good Twitter account, I don't know if you follow it or not, it's called Historic Vids, and they put something up every day. It's from history. You would love it. It's to do with people that have done great things or really crazy events that have happened. It's called Historic Vids, so it's at History In Memes is the name of the account on Twitter. But yesterday, they put a photograph up, and you're talking about tent cities that are springing up and veterans sleeping under bridges in Dallas, and this real underbelly we're starting to see developing in America for people that were homeowners maybe a few years ago, working people, serving soldiers. They're now destitute. They put a picture up yesterday in 1933, Central Park, New York City, witnessed the emergence of what were called Hoovervilles, or shanty towns, as a consequence of the Great Depression. Countless individuals were left unemployed and faced eviction from their residences during this challenging period, leading to the proliferation of these makeshift settlements throughout the United States. So this is going back to 1933, almost, 90 years ago. But Central Park in New York, it just shows you there's no trees or anything. It's just wooden shanty huts and cardboard boxes where people that have went through the Great Depression are living. If things keep going the way we're going, is that not what we're already seeing in Dallas, in San Francisco, in parts of New York? Are we not starting to see this emerging again linked to a destroyed economy? Is this not what we're seeing again, just history repeating itself?
So I'm probably the least expert when it comes to finances and economy that you could have on your show, but yeah, for sure. And if you kind of follow some of the people who know what's going on, you know, they'll say we're definitely already in recession in the United States. Mm-hmm. No matter how much they want to say that we're not, we are. And you see that in everyday lives. You see people, you know, respond and not going to buy certain brands and certain mm-hmm. things. And even that boycott, we haven't talked about that yet, but the boycott of different brands, you know, the Target, Budweiser, Kohl's now, people are, it's actually, I think it's a response, first of all, because people can afford those things. And second, they're trying to start deciding what's important for their families. So they're going to the, you know, stores and brands that they believe carry the same values. The cost of living is huge and it's getting worse. And the fact that, you know, especially I would say, I kind of blame this on Republicans. Because no matter how much the Speaker McCarthy wants to say it's a win, we finally have an agreement, it's not good enough. You know, if that's how you balance your budget at home, then you're not doing good. And Americans' families are suffering.
You know what? We started off this conversation talking about truth. And figures, you talked about your electricity prices. I can testify the same thing. Ours have went through the roof. The prices of petrol, diesel, gas, as you people would call it over at the gas stations, the price of milk, the price of eggs, the price of bread. We're told that in the UK, inflation is about 9% and they want to have it this year. In America, it's 12% or 9%. They want to have it. But when you go to the store, excuse me, and the milk that you bought last year for a dollar is now $2. You know, I'm not a great mathematician, but that's a 100% increase in the cost of milk. For example, your electricity prices at one stage had trebled. Now you think you're getting a good deal because they've simply doubled. That's the danger. We're starting to slip into an acceptance mindset that, hey, twice as much isn't just so bad because I paid three times as much a few months ago, but we're still getting absolutely screwed over by our government. So that's something we need to watch out for. The two steps forward, one step back, totalitarian tiptoe, which is how they put the squeeze on people like you and me. And I'm the same. I don't lead an extravagant lifestyle, but I've developed a medical condition every time I go to the supermarket. Now, you know what a palpitation is? You know, a heart palpitation? Every time I hand over my groceries, I get a palpitation waiting for the cashier to go, "That'll be $40, please." And I'm like, "But I only have a loaf of bread and a pint of milk." But that's, I think, part of our new normal, don't you think? Palpitations will be on the up. What do you reckon?
Like you said, it's not 60, it's only 40, right? You're completely right. We're starting to accept the things that they are throwing down our throats because they're doing actually a great job. Like you said, mm-hmm. you know, like my, you know, the example with electricity is completely right. 6 months ago, I was totally shocked and now I'm relieved. And in the mm-hmm. meantime, I'm paying double what I paid last summer. So, it's really interesting, if you follow some of these psychologists who have spoken out, like Dr. Christian Buckland in UK and some others, they have employed psychological games on the population. And they've been doing it for so long, we haven't even realized it. So things are not going
better. We need to be aware. Yeah, we need to be aware of this. And this is part of what we're doing. We're not just focusing in on pure medicine. We're talking about strategies that they employ to wreck us financially, what we need to be aware of with our mental health. So it's kind of an all-encompassing chat, I like to think, we've been having this morning. And it's actually getting light now outside of your window. It looks like a nice scenery going on behind you. And now you're all energized and you've got to try and get back over to sleep again. So I cannot thank you enough for joining me this morning. It's been absolutely lovely to see you again and to talk to you again. And hopefully it won't be so long before we have another chat. That is the one and only, the lovely Dr. Kat Lindley. Follow her on Twitter at KL Veritas. She's all about the truth, don't you know it? And she's a hardcore TNT guest. So she gets a big salute from me. So you're now relieved to go back to your bed or do whatever you want to do. And I'm going to go out and get some fresh air and spend a lot of money on bread and milk here when I get off TNT Radio. Don't go away.